Second. All right, whenever you're ready, Kathy.
Terrific, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm calling this Back Bay Architectural Commission public hearing to order at a little after 5 p.m. on June 8th, 2022. You may participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at http://publicnotices15903271 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering ID 818-0545-7525 # You may also submit written comments or questions to backbayac@boston.gov. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. We're conducting this hearing online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Back Bay Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand. Or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. Did you want to take a roll, Joe?
I will. Commissioners present, we have Jim Berkman, John Christensen, Kathy Connor, David Eisen, Susanna Gaspar, and Ethel McLeod.
Terrific. Okay, so let's get started and go to our first and only design review application. It's 222 Commonwealth Avenue. And this is for Guy Grassi, but I see that Guy is not here. If you could identify yourself, please, and describe the scope of your application, and then we'll turn it back to Joe to do the staff notes. And then
sure. My name is Kyle Coughlin on behalf of Grassi Design Group. This is for 222 Commonwealth Ave. This is a reapplication of the previously approved project, which included replacing, you know, existing front and rear landscaping and fencing, constructing the basement level addition, restoring existing facades, replacing windows, and constructing a penthouse addition and deck at the roof level. All of the drawings on the digital presentation and photographs are exactly what was presented at the previous meetings.
All right, Kyle, before you begin, I'll just read my notes.
Sure.
Staff notes that 222 Commonwealth Avenue is a four-story brick row house built in 1879. This project was approved by the commission in January 2021. However, the approval has expired. Staff recommends approval, finding that the project has not changed from what was approved in 2021.
Correct.
Great. Now the floor is yours.
So the existing facade, we'll be restoring this, restoring the existing fire escapes, restoring the masonry, pretty typical for our jobs that we put out. The roof level addition will not be visible from a public way at the front and rear. At the rear exterior, we'll be removing a portion of the chimney at the rear of the prominent of that bay, just at the garden level for the small garden level addition. And then installing a new window to match the existing at the middle of that bay. And then another door to simulate the window out onto the roof deck of that small garden level addition.
Again. Why don't I go to the plan so you can...
Sure. Yeah, that works. So that there you can see where we'll be removing a portion of that rear bay for the new addition with the small deck above. All windows and doors will be fitted into existing masonry openings. So no new openings other than the one at the very rear of that bay. One of the provisos from the previous applications was to push back the wall of that penthouse addition at the rear to the to align with that chimney, which we've done here, which also allowed us to push those four heat pumps back further from the edge of the roof, which was another one of the comments from the commission. Getting them more out of the site from a public view, which you can see a little bit more clearly at the section here. I think that was the extent of the provisos. Yes, that was. And also at the January 13th hearing, we had some rear balconies, which are no longer a part of the project. These were not approved by the commission.
So there you can see
those balconies at the rear were removed from the scope, and we'll just be restoring all the masonry back there. Yes.
So there are just to repeat, there are no changes from from 2021 when this was approved by the commission. Correct. It's because it is expired that you are representing it exactly as it was approved.
That's correct.
Great. So Joe, just since I haven't done one of these in quite a while, I just want to make sure that the protocol is proper. Do we just need at this point in time a motion? We certainly can do some discussion.
Approvals are valid for 1 year in the Back Bay. For all the other districts and for the Boston Landmarks Commission, it's 2 years. So this has expired. If it hadn't expired and a request was sent in to extend it, it would have been an administrative review item. But because this did expire, they had to submit a new application, even though it's the same project.
New application.
Exactly. So it's the same protocol. So, you know, questions and comments from the commissioners, and then we'll have public comment as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So commissions and comments from the commissioners, please.
I just have one question because I wasn't clear in looking at the roof plan, where the deck went, and is it in the guidelines? It looked like it was going in front of the chimney, and I thought we had to keep it within the back of the chimney, but maybe I misread that.
So there is a portion about 5.5 feet almost that does go in front of that chimney. I wasn't a part of this project prior to I'm just getting back into it prior to this this reapplication. But this was given to the commission prior to the January 13th as we, you know, usually revise our drawings per the provisos of the certificates or the comments from the commissioners.
So Joe, is that within the guidelines?
Right, so there's an existing deck now.
And it's where they've shown it to be?
Yes, yeah, and the railing's not visible.
And was the original proposal, they've added the penthouse, and that was
approved in 2021. Everything here was approved in 2021,
including the deck ahead of the chimney.
Yes.
Why? Do you know any reason?
I don't know. You're at the hearing too, John.
No, I don't remember it.
So, I mean, the railing's not visible from the street.
It is not.
No.
There's a parapet.
Kyle, is there a small parapet there that blocks it?
At the rear, there is a small parapet. Yes.
Could you go back to the section?
I believe. I could be wrong. So at that rear elevation, it looks like the roof just slopes off. At the front, there is a parapet that does block some of the view.
So the parapet at the front seems to be the reason they have that it was extended beyond the deck, I would gather. Because it looks like that parapet's about pretty high.
Yeah.
Do you know how high it is? Can you scale it?
At the front?
At the front.
At the front. I mean, I would probably say it needs to be at least 3.5 feet because I don't see a railing on top of it. Just to conform with the code. So it's three.
So it needs a railing to cap it to get it up to 3'8" or whatever.
Well, it's 3'6" from the decking. No. I don't see one drawn on this section.
So Joe,
42 inches, which is meets code, right?
Yes.
So Joe, the fact that the deck goes in front of the chimney is both grandfathered and it's out of sight due to the parapet, and that's why it's an exception we're permitting.
Yes.
Thank you. That
sounds logical to me too. Okay.
I have a question about the bottom addition. I seem to remember a fairly vigorous conversation about the bottom of the chimney that you're removing and whether we should allow that window that is cutting into the existing chimney at the first floor, if I read your notes correctly. Can you remind us what came out of that? Did that become a proviso, or did we just approve it the way it is shown here?
It was approved the way it's shown here.
Okay.
Meets my criteria. I don't remember it, but okay, I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, let's go to public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside the commission purview. Okay, I see that Lori Thomas has a question.
Yes, hi. I'll need to start my video, or you can start it for me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if you can see me. I would like to talk about the trees. Can we take a look at the planter in the back, please? Can you please tell me how large it is? I see you want to put a magnolia back there, and I'm not sure magnolias are the best choice for a small planter like that. I don't know of any examples in Back Bay, and it may not be the best choice for a small flowering tree back there.
Okay.
So in the back, you have a long planter by your parking area, and you have it filled with yew and a 3-inch caliper magnolia.
Right.
So we usually specify 3.5 to 4.5-inch size trees. That does look like a very small planter for any tree. Can you tell me if it's open to the ground or if it's paved on the bottom and how wide it is?
Paved? No, I mean, that would be a planter. So there wouldn't be any paving underneath it.
Okay, sometimes there are. I would suggest that you think about a different type of tree, like a Kwanzaa cherry, that might do better in that situation. And if you can perhaps make the planter a little bit wider, that would be ideal.
Okay.
And then in the front, you have a dogwood. Again, it should be a 3.5 to 4.5 inch caliper. And do you know which species of dogwood?
I don't.
Okay, I would suggest that you try a Rutgers dogwood. They're what we're always recommending now because we have so many American dogwoods and Coosa dogwoods now that if we get any kind of pest or blight, it will just ruin the neighborhood. So we're looking for other kinds of hardy dogwood species to start being planted around the neighborhood. And they're lovely trees.
Rutgers.
Yeah. Yes, they come in many colors. They're very disease resistant, very hardy, and they're very beautiful trees.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori. Sue Prindle.
Good, thank you. I vaguely remember this as well from a couple of years ago. I think the largest issue that we had with it was the decorativeness of the balconies and the numbers of balconies on the front. And I assume that those are required for the building door, because there was some talk about maybe trying to get them off.
Those are existing. And
now they're existing, yeah.
To remain, yeah.
They have to remain because there are so many units next door.
To keep with the fire code, we need to keep those.
Okay. All right. That was all I was questioning. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Tom Pye.
Okay, I move approval subject to the applicant.
Wait, John, we haven't closed public comment yet.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. I'm just going to Thomas. Hi.
Hi. I think I'm unmuted now.
Yes, you are.
I think looking at the plans, I think that everything is consistent with what the commission approved before. I did have just one small question, and I'm not objecting to it. I just wanted to clarify. On the front of the penthouse on the left-hand side on drawing 4, there are a couple of louvers that have been cut into the front of the roof. I think you'll see them up there, yes, up on the left-hand side, you got it. And those don't seem to appear on page 5 on the detail of the front. And I was curious, are those part of the, and they were not, by the way, on the plans that we saw back in January or in December. I don't think, I'm not objecting to them. I just think I'd like to know, is that a change or what are those, are they meant to be there or not?
Those are meant to be there. So as we got into construction drawings and laying out the mechanical systems, those were placed. I don't remember if these were shown on the application for the January 19th hearing.
They were not shown on either the application for December, which dealt with the front, nor the one in the back in January, which just dealt with the back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why, my best guess is when these were applied to you and they weren't shown, that portion of the coordination of the building just wasn't done yet. And so we just had to find a way to get those, to get that exhaust air out.
So, and they were just omitted from page 5.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's just a drawing omission. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? I don't see any, Joe, do you?
No, not getting any other messages in either.
Okay, then John, back to you.
Okay. I move approval with the provisos that the applicant work with the garden club to confirm and review the trees, the planting on both front and rear.
I second it.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, I'll read the roll call. Jim Berkman.
Yes.
John Christensen.
Yes.
Kathy Connor.
Yes.
David Eisen.
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar.
Yes.
Ethel McLeod.
Yes.
And Meredith Christensen, who joined us a little later. Meredith?
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right.
Terrific. So that is, that's our
agenda.
Our actual conclusion as far as our applications, but we do have, we're going to be moving forward eventually to an advisory review. In the meantime, what we'll do is we will do the administrative review. If we have a motion to accept the administrative review, or actually no, we're going to do the
we can do the admin now. Why don't we do the admin, since
I think that's a good idea, right?
You have us all poised for it.
I move to accept the administrative review.
Second.
All right. Jim Berkman.
Yes.
John Christensen.
Yes.
Kathy Connor.
Yes.
David Eisen.
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar.
Yes.
Ethel McLeod.
Yes.
And Meredith Christensen.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to the advisory review for 7 Newbury Street. And do we have someone here to present that?
Yes.
And if you could identify yourself, please.
Okay. Mike Jamin on behalf of UMNV 7 Newbury LLC. I also have with me David Silverman from Silverman Trikowski, who is our architect. I'm going to do a brief introduction, then I have to go out and pick up my kids because my wife has COVID and David will take over here. So,
welcome.
This is our second advisory meeting. We were initially here in December. We've made some significant changes at the request of our retailer, which is Long's Jewelers, operating a Patek Philippe watch store over 2 levels. We are on advisory because we need to go through zoning. We have 3 zoning issues, that being groundwater recharge, a front yard violation, which we currently violate anyway, and we are pulling back, but not, but we will still remain in violation. And then FAR, which I believe we are increasing from 3.57 to 3.64, because we are putting an elevator that's going to service the basement and 2 retail levels. And that will be, that's going to run outside of the building on the 2nd and 3rd level, because obviously if we put it inside the building, we run into the 3rd floor and can't get an elevator in there. So, so David will go through that, and we look forward to your comments and feedback. Thank you, David, go ahead.
Can we hear it before zoning is over?
We're advisory, yes.
We're advisory, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard this one before. This is the second advisory.
Okay.
David, do you want to share your screen, or would you like me to continue with the...
You can show this. Okay. I have the same presentation.
Just let me know when to go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. As Mike said, and as Joe said, we had presented this prior. It was a different design. We're actually working with Janton Scurro, who's a New York City architect that is Long's retail architect, who is also working with us on the facade design. Since we were here last time, and Mike just alluded to it as well, there's work that we want to show you on the rear of the building, on the alley side, in addition to a revised facade design. And welcome your input here. So 79 Newbury Street is the building right there, kind of in line with the mailbox. It's got the small single-story bay. Showing some context photos here. We had actually uploaded some existing photos separately from these, but just to kind of give you all a sense of where it is. Go next slide. Some more context, kind of showing, some of the 2-story retail bays that have started to be added in the neighborhood. Some are historic already, and some are kind of new. Next slide is the site survey that starts to get at the, which we actually use for the Zoning Board of Appeal, that shows where the addition is going to be and how it kind of balances out with the existing bay that's going to be removed. So next slide. So we wanted to do here is kind of do a comparison of the existing to the new floor plan. The existing is at the top. And so you see the bay on the right-hand side of the existing plan, and thinking about replacing that with a new bay that's the, you know, full width within, well, we'll get to it when we talk about the facade, but there's already kind of this cast stone frame, if you will, that we're basically kind of inserting this new facade in. As Mike had mentioned, Long's is going to be in the all three stories here, the lower level, the first floor, and the second floor. But they're working with Patek Philippe, who makes high-end watches, who will occupy the first floor here. So part of the storefront design was trying to balance the need for storefront, retail storefront, for Patek Philippe and also for Long's. And so what you see at the top of the new plan is a display area for Long's. And then next to that is the airlock vestibule. And then below that, between the 9 Newbury Street entrance and the vestibule, is the retail display for Patek Philippe. Also here, you're seeing the elevator, which will become more evident on the next plan. But basically, that is going up through the existing roof and will be outside of the plane of the building at the second floor. Next slide. Go back one. Yeah. So again, showing the two-story retail facade against what's there today. And then looking to the rear of the building, there is an existing lower roof. And it has a existing kind of bulkhead that's an egress stair off of the roof that we will keep. Other than that, we're trying to organize the deck. There's a bunch of condenser equipment kind of, you know, in kind of spread out across the roof here. We're going to try to clean that up. We are going to reorient the last leg of the fire escape so that it's 90 degrees from what's shown in the top plan. And then between that fire escape from above and the new terrace will be the HVAC equipment. Kind of make those all cleaned up. Then we'll pull back a railing to align with the bulkhead and have a kind of a greens kind of planter arranged terrace and try to make a cleaner egress path as well from the upstairs fire escapes to the bulkhead. One of the things that I'll start to talk about here is security. And we are working with, we're going to be working with the New York architects and the security consultants on, you know, making sure the building is secure as possible from theft. And so we are proposing to fill in the rear windows, which with some kind of a security panel but our intent will be to make them look like windows. And so we'll, you know, they'll look like double hung windows, but for now, I just want to point out that we're proposing to fill these in. Next slide. So jumping to the front facade, we have an enlarged elevation of this too on the next slide, but wanted to show the materials, looking at a black stainless steel frame and a couple of marbles that will kind of highlight the vertical columns and then the horizontal sign bands. But these are the materials that we're currently thinking about. Go to the next slide for the enlarged elevation. So you can see we're proposing a flag for a Patek Philippe. The bay sticks out 2'9", which is in line with the bays in the adjacent building. And then you can see kind of, you know, again, the marbles are in the vertical columns in the horizontal sign band where it says Patek Philippe. And then there's a decorative metal screen, which is basically thin metal pieces that are kind of on the facade to kind of, they don't move, it's not a shade. And so they kind of just, you know, provide a little bit more of a refinement to the facade design. And then you can see the signage is just sort of like simple, elegant signage on the actual glass and then on the stone where it says Patek Philippe. The next slide is a rendering, 3D rendering. Again, you can sort of see here, but the 2'9" is aligning with the bays on the adjacent building.
I'm curious as to why you've got the vertical columns, but they don't end on anything, because that sets forward of the surround. So it would seem to me that whatever that column is that's expressed ought to, one, return back to the wall, and ought to cap carry around over the top as well. Now, is that, it looks like it's rough stone. What is it? What is the material?
Yeah, it's marble, correct.
Marble? So,
yeah. Yeah, there were two different marbles that we were showing for the stone. But you're right, there isn't a horizontal piece of marble up there. That's the black stainless steel on the top of the frame.
Now, is there stainless steel that goes next to the marble columns?
Correct.
So you have a window wall or a curtain wall, I guess you call it a storefront, that infills in between the, where the apparent glass is, or I'm trying to understand what's metal and what's not.
Right. So the glass, between the two middle columns, where you see the screening, that's inside of the glass plane. And then on the, over the door entrances, it comes to the outside of the glass plane so that it can come down over the, so it's on the exterior where it says Longs, it's on the interior where it says Patek Philippe, but it's the same material, the same design.
Could you go back to the plan for a second? Because I'm also trying to kind of figure out how this works. Okay, thanks, yeah. And the first floor is the same in terms of the projections on those columns.
Correct.
And what do you propose thus sides of those columns be? That's 2 feet wide, right? In other words, that's a edge sort of that extends that little bay out. What is that material?
Right now it's the black stainless, but we could look at that as the stone. I think that could be interesting.
I think it doesn't know what it wants to be. I think you got to decide more consistency.
I mean, I tend to agree with John. I think like the columns not terminating with some type of cornice element, even if it's a modern expression, seems like there would be a benefit to it. I can certainly understand like the black and steel, right, acting as sort of that band wrap that goes up and around. But I think the columns, I agree with John, feel like they should terminate with a cornice piece. Are the vertical fins black and steel as well?
Yes.
And is the vertical, the vertical fins, John, like in front of the long signage? I think I heard those are black and steel fins as well, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So you're using the black and steel to kind of band the marble.
Correct.
All the way around, even inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about the horizontal band on either side of the Patek Philippe signage? Is that marble as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know what kind of marble? Marble can be.
Go back a couple of slides.
Is it black or dark marble or green marble or?
They're both honed. This is the best. I mean, they're gray. One has more texture than the other. The Silhouette Agree is the vertical. The Tundra is the horizontal.
I think we need to see some samples of that. Somebody should.
Yeah.
And I think we really need to see the samples of all the materials that you're proposing on that facade.
And at least in this, in a presentation like this, a color for the marbles. Those are not, we're not seeing the colors, are we?
Well, also the veining, marble can be pretty wild. And I, you know, you mentioned the marble. I don't happen to know it, so I guess I need to see a sample. Joe, have you seen samples of it?
No.
Joe,
again, this is advisory.
Do you agree that we need some kind of?
Yes. But you know, again, this is advisory, John. So it's a little premature to do that.
All right. I guess my advice would be we need it.
And Joe,
I wouldn't want to be making approvals. You know, the way it looks, I think it's simple and, you know, a square. The way it's divided seems okay. The fact that you are banding between whatever that material is under the columns is okay. I mean, you know, with stainless or not stainless, or it's black stainless, right?
Correct.
Black metal or black stainless?
Yep.
And you probably want a little. So.
I mean, materials are important, but I think the issues, the relationships between the materials do seem to be unresolved. I mean, I like the notion that there's an existing frame on three sides, then there's a thin metal band on all three sides that kind of repeats that, but yep. Those columns do seem to be fighting with it. So, I mean, the elevations and the plans make a lot of sense to me, and this is where I get worried. And John, I think you that's jumped on too. This. How do those columns relate to the three-sided metal band? Should they be pushed back? Should that thin metal band that repeats the existing frame, should that be allowed to have more presence rather than to me? And I think that, you know, being undermined by those four columns.
Yeah, I would almost like to see the black carry around and become the column. And then same thing in the middle. You know, so you have.
I think I absolutely, I think I absolutely agree with that. It seems to me that these stone elements in their proportions and texture as well actually don't seem to, you know, add to the very strong frame that we have. I was also wondering whether you looked at glass corners. It seems to me that this thing that's popping out of that stone is just neither here nor there. It's not solid, it's not deep enough. There's just something very unsettling about it, I think, compared to the sort of grand gesture of the existing building.
But, you know, a big bay that comes out a little bit is articulated. I don't have any great problem with that.
I like that. I actually was looking at, you know, you have the existing columns on the second floor, which are then, you know, carried by a fairly big girder at the top of the first floor, I'm assuming. So I think I actually really enjoy the fact that this whole thing looks two stories tall. It just seems like the pieces, and maybe even the fact that the Patek Philippe is kind of below that girder. And I think it's just kind of slipping down too much. So I think there's just a proportional issue, both vertically and horizontally, that I'm trying to resolve in my head.
Yeah, I think I would recommend getting rid of the stone or making it make the if you're going to do the jams and carry it, you know, and it needs something over the top, whatever it is.
Joe, on another note, do the guidelines allow that flag? Is that appropriate? I know there's some distinction between how many tenants are in a building when the flag can be used. Is this one within the guidelines?
Typically it's when the, you know, retailer is housed in the entire building. You know, if the entire building was one tenant or one retailer, then typically a flag may be allowed, but I don't think that is the case here.
Yeah, I don't think it's appropriate.
Right. So I think getting rid of the flag is going to be necessary.
Yep.
I think what's also interesting about that is on the back surface on the original building. So if the the flag is kind of hanging over the projection of the new addition, right?
Yeah.
But scraping it.
No, it's and forward of it. Well, do you know how you would, since it's advisor, do you know, have information as how you might revise it?
I have some ideas in my head right now, but there's still the rear facade to look at.
Okay, but yeah, right.
When we come back to you for the formal hearing, we'll have all of the details worked out and you know, much more information to share.
But you hear the commissioners speaking say it needs work, right?
Yep.
And simplification. Right.
Shall we move to the rear facade?
It's conceivable in your office, if you made those four columns go away, you in fact might be relieved. You might not be. You might be very find them very appealing, or might be a relief to suppress those and play them down.
Okay. So to the left is existing rear elevation, and to the right is the proposed, what we're, you know, looking to do. As I mentioned, we're looking to take the last run of the fire escape and rotate it 90 degrees to make more room for the terrace. All of the windows that are kind of shown blank here at the bottom two floors, or, you know, the garden level in the first floor, those are existing as filled in. But as I said earlier, we're going to continue to leave them filled in, but we're going to insert a new panel there that will look like a window. So I know that there's been some other projects done in the back bay that have done similar treatments.
Would that be all of the windows, or just those that are gathered in the four wide? Are you doing the same on the two on the right hand side?
So there's three windows on the second floor level, and then there's the nine windows on the lower level and first floor on the part of the building that projects out.
But you're talking about the windows that are go all the way up, right? Are you
only? So the windows.
Which windows?
It's here. It's here, right? These three
correct,
floors.
Correct. Correct.
That's all.
Okay. This floor, and this floor. Yep.
You're not doing. You're not doing the upper floors.
No.
Okay. Good.
And then the box to the right is the elevator, which we're currently showing is brick. We had some good feedback from NAB. Depends on what people think, but. You know, does the brick make it disappear, or do we treat it with copper and wrap it with copper as a suggestion instead? One thing you're seeing here is that the overrun of the elevator does extend up to the third floor, which, as Mike mentioned earlier, is why we can't put it inside the building. But, it does extend up to the third floor, where it covers a couple of the third floor windows. The kind of green tint you see is just where we're kind of, proposing we might have some kind, again, a green landscape space, and then building a, a railing to the left of that, again, to just keep people from the edge of the roof. And in our projection studies, the alley's so tight here, you wouldn't be able to see the railings or the planter, but and it's uncertain to me right now if you'd be able to see I don't think you'd see the top of the elevator, but need to do a little bit more work on that.
If it's brick, would you match the brick in color with the building?
Yeah.
I think that would work better than copper clad. I think it's such a big box, and copper clad is often used for structures that are less tall.
Right.
It is potential opportunity to put some greenery over that facade of that elevator.
Yep.
Which I would not be opposed to. I mean, if that box, the two sides of that box were green, some sort of vertical growing plants. That's if you feel it can be maintained.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I like that idea.
A quick question on this plan. As part of this addition of the elevator shaft, are you proposing to remove the existing brickwork or kind of double it up and create the new shaft with, you know, against the existing?
The existing brick facade, that wall would remain, and then we would create the new openings in it for the elevator. That's Is that what you mean?
That's reversible.
I think so. Right. Well, I mean, you have to take quite a bit of out of it so that you can get the elevator door.
Correct. And there's the window. Yeah. Right. And the windows are there and they might not be in the right place. We're also working with a structural engineer to avoid the footings where we have to do the pit. So there's still a bit of kind of shifting around inches, not feet, but this is where we're proposing to locate it. That works best for the plan.
Thank you.
And you're adding balconies all the way across, which on this veer, right?
The balcony, no, we're not. I mean, all the fire escapes are existing on the back. The only thing we're doing
It's just that I look at the two drawings and one appears to have more the horizontals. So that's the way they are now, right?
It's not showing on the existing as being horizontal on every floor.
Yeah, it is. That's the way the fire escape works. You need it to
That's keep clarification. Your, okay, thank you. I have no objection to the back of it, what you're doing.
Okay.
Any other comments, commissioners?
Pardon?
Any other comments, commissioners? Then I would say that we're probably, that we can say this is our feedback for the evening.
And Kathy, we should do public comment, just.
Yeah, I agree.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, so members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions by public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you may press *9 to raise your hand, or you may send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on the project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside of the commission's purview. And do we have any public comment? I see Sue Prindle.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much. I'll start with what I'm really pleased to hear, which is that the blanked out wooden windows on the ground floor in the back will be changed to something more appropriate. I think that's going to be great for the folks in the alley, so I appreciate that a lot. I believe there was some talk about interior trash, which isn't your jurisdiction, but I just wanted to keep that on the table. There was also some thought about trying to reduce the override on the elevator so that it wasn't quite so dominant, and I hope that will be pursued as well. In terms of the front, I think our opinion is that the bay should be brought back a little bit to conform to the zoning, and also not so that it doesn't detract so much from the frame around it, which I think was the initial thing that the commission was talking about, was trying to make that frame a little stronger in the front facade. So those were my comments, and there may be others as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Mike Jammin.
I was just trying to reach Joe so he could unmute me and I could answer questions since I'm back now. If anybody has any questions, so I am back, and if Joe can make me a co-host, I'm happy to answer any questions as well.
Great.
Sue's comment on the ability to see the surround from the lower level, or at least can perceive it, is kind of important to that, the design of that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's too, how wide is that? I mean, that, is that the scale? I mean, if you can really see that, that might work, but. Isometric, it ought to be studied in isometric or looking up to see, you know, how you're going to perceive that from the sidewalk. Whether you'll see the original frame go on by, whatever you put in it below it.
John, are you referring to the front facade?
Front facade, yes.
Yes, so I think we are... We're 5 inches proud of the building, I believe, is right now. I believe we're a foot, and we're pulling it back to about 5 inches. If I'm
wow,
do I have that correct, David?
Well, it's 2'9" now.
2'9". Okay, I'm sorry. Four. And we're going to what?
We talked about at the NAB hearing possibly bringing in 5 inches, but we're also trying to. We don't want to commit to that until the structural engineer has their opportunity to do their work. And we don't want to go taking away room, you know.
We're 2'9" okay. Now, though, if that's correct.
Yeah.
But the 5 inches then is what you diminish it. It's not the 5 inches total. You go to 2'4".
Yes. Correct.
Okay. If 5 inches is very little off of 2'9". Okay, thank you.
And this has been pulled in since the last time we were in front of you.
Yeah, the down the street, way down. I think it's a. Trying to think, CBT did the job on the corner of Exeter, and I think those projections of those bays were something like 2'6" or something like that. So you might want to look at that to, you know, just go out and look at it to get a sense of how far that projects and how it relates to the surrounding trim of the building, which you want to maintain and have maintain that strength.
Can I call attention? We have another comment from a participant, Tom High, whom we haven't heard from.
Yep, Tom?
Okay. I just wanted to add my voice to the idea of moving it back. The visibility of the original frame is, I think, important. And the small reduction to bring the front of the facade, or of the bay rather, back in conformance with zoning would also help reestablish that original frame. I also agree with John's comments that I don't know whether you keep the columns or get rid of them, but you do want something that's resolved across the top of this, again, so that it fits within the original frame of the building, of the entryway area there. 5 inches is not much to give up. It would bring them within zoning, and it would also, I think, enhance the visibility of the original architecture. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
I think one of the reasons we have kept it proud of the building is, I think one of the comments that Kathy made when we went to advisory in December about the ability to walk right by this building and not have it noticed. And that, you know, we're trying to do something a little more substantial here. You know, that's definitely one of the reasons, and the fact that we're already out there now, so.
That's a good point. Thank you, Mike. And, you know, I will say that that has been known as that particular spot for being a retailer on the street. People walk by and go, where was that? And they have to go back on a regular basis. So appreciate the effort to have it stand out in some manner, of course.
I'm wondering whether one tool for you to give a little bit more air to the existing stone surround is to create a little reveal between the new addition and the stone itself, so that you have 2 or 3 inches or something that, you know, pull in from the sides and from the top to be a little bit more deferential and also to be honest, constructible, to give more, you know, just a little bit more breathing room for the stone.
Yeah, I think with the Newbury and its prominence now on Newbury Street, we are also worried about this getting lost because Newbury comes so far out, you know, with that active patio and everything too. So that's another concern.
Well, that's why I'm suggesting that you actually, if you pull it in from the side as opposed to from the front, then you still have the same projection, the 2'9", but you give a little bit more visibility to the stone.
The other option is to have glass ends. In other words, put, you know, posts in there and then infill with glass in between so that you, you know, you don't have solid ends, but in fact, you have a glass
corner.
Well, a corner, yeah, a glass corner or glass corners work if you can figure out, but that's not the, what you've got drawn, but they do help in terms of giving the visibility and the, you know, to the street. Wilson Street, the we did an addition where glass came down and went a little bit forward of the columns, and that seemed to work. So you might, I don't think it's still there now, though it's been, it was taken apart, but it worked. All things for considerations, I would say.
Any other public comment?
I'm not seeing any. Oh, well, Sue Prindle, you already made your comments. Kathy, do we want to give her another chance?
Oh,
why not?
All right.
Go ahead, Sue.
Thank you. I just had a thought that maybe this doesn't need to be treated as a single plane. Maybe there's some way of pushing the sides back a little bit. I just wanted to throw that out there for people to think about.
Hmm. So that the bay, the center part becomes a bay and the other one moves back slightly. All it could work. It's not resolved at this point.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Any other public comments?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Well, thanks everyone. We truly appreciate the comments.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I like the people in your drawing.
Yeah.
Great scale figures.
Thank you, commissioners, for contributing to this as well. Mike, thank you for the presentation. It's great and Kyle. Okay.
I move that we ratify the minutes of May 11, 2022.
Thank you, Jim. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Go, okay. Done.
All right, I'll call the vote. Jim Berkman?
Yes.
John Christensen?
Yes.
Kathy Connor?
Yes.
David Eisen?
I was not in attendance, so I'll pass. I hope that's okay.
Yep. Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
And Meredith Christensen? Meredith?
She was there.
Yeah, she's saying yes. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. And what about staff updates, Joe?
Yeah, so our offices have moved. We moved last week out of City Hall, and we are now at the former Kirstein Library at 20 City Hall Avenue, which is near Court Street and Pie Alley, if you know that area at all. So
nice building.
It is, yeah. It's modeled after the Charles Bullfinch Tontine Crescent, the centerpiece of that. So we're happy to be there.
You're pleased with the new space?
Yes. Yeah. We'll get some new furniture next fiscal year, but right now we're happy with the move. And Kira, who's here on the call, our preservation assistant, worked wonders in getting us packed up and working us get us all established. So Kira, thank you.
So you're there now?
we're there. Well, I'm at home now, but yes, we're moved into the library now.
Oh, good.
And other updates, as far as I know, we will be going back to in-person hearings after July 15th. So our August hearing, which, let me see the date of that. Should know it. Our August 10th hearing, right now we should plan to be meeting in person at City Hall. So if that changes, I'll let you know.
But July is?
July will be remote.
Okay.
Be interesting. July 13th. Attendance, won't it? To see how it affects attendance.
Now, will we be meeting in City Hall?
Right now, that's the plan. Hopefully back in room 900.
Great. That's terrific. Thank you very much, Joe.
Sure.
So, shall we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
A second.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Sorry about the mute issue there. I'm back, but thanks, everyone. <All right. laughs> My screen went blank and I couldn't get to anything, so thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.